Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on October 6th, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our mini adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great this morning, Joe. I feel fabulous.
Yeah, and you know, persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, I left one of the P's out. Pasta.
Well, pasta!
Pasta! Jackie, is it our favorite subject today?
Food. Well, food is our favorite subject, period.
Yes.
It is our favorite subject. Yeah,
yes.
No doubt about that.
Yes. And I'm so glad you're back. It didn't feel like it this week because Wednesday was a...
We had a rerun, yeah. And it was a good show, too.
That was a good show, yeah.
It was Chris Cagle from the South Bay Workforce. With a lot of great information in that show. So
right.
I recommend all business owners listen to that.
South Bay WIB.
Yes, WIB.
Board.
Yeah.
But we have someone with us who is... You know, the entire package, not just the great restaurateur, but an entertainer in, you know, literally an entertainer. This is exciting. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning, we have a returning guest this morning, one of our favorite locals, Lou Giovanetti. Lou is a Bronx-bred New Yorker and the Beach City's bel canto. He's a Broadway stage, screen, TV actor, and big band frontman, and loves singing the great American songbook and jazz classics. Inspired by Sinatra and Bennett, and leans on the legacy of the great jazz-era musicians and song stylists and celebrates them with fresh arrangements and modern twists. Lou's 18-piece orchestra, Lou Sing Swing, led by producer and music director Jamie Tate, who also weighs in on drums, features L.A.'s finest jazz artists, musicians, and gifted up-and-comers making their mark in concert, film, and TV. Now, Lou and his wife, Grace, love the beach life and reside in the South Bay with their two sons, Lucio and Santino. They are the former proprietors of Side Door in Manhattan Beach and have recently opened a new restaurant in Torrance called Primo Italia. Now, this morning, we're going to learn about Primo Italia. And, Joe, I want to get the backstory on how Lou got back into the restaurant game. So, bentornato al programma, Lou. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Listen to you. Busting out the Italian. Very nice.
How are you guys doing? At this hour, no less.
Exactly. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Good morning. And really, it's been a long time that we've known each other even before we've known each other, because you and your 18-piece orchestra, Lou Sing Swing, have been doing the Hermosa New Year's Eve performances for how long, Lou?
I think we're going into our fourth year this year. We actually you know, we're actually, I think we're going to solidify an actual partnership soon enough here. We just, you know, now that all the summer events are over, we're in talks now to see if we can solidify something going into the future. But we've had such a great time over there growing this family-friendly event. We do an early set for kids and families from 8 to 9 o'clock, and we do and then we bust out on stage, and we do, gosh, sometimes 2 to 2.5 hours ringing in the new year, and
right.
It's the event has grown every year, and we just have a blast doing it.
It's so much fun. It's such a great event, Lou. Everything about it, every aspect of it. It's New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
We're on Pier Plaza.
Yeah.
You got the big band, the big stage, the big band. It's a great event.
To actually be outside and get to and have the Pacific as your backdrop and free concert and all of the fun, all the people who are in town for the Rose Bowl come down to Hermosa. And
mm-hmm.
So there's always this big battle between the two teams that are playing in the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the locals and all the great restaurants and bars down there. And it's just every year it has grown every year. We're, you know, thousands and thousands of people come down now. And it is just I don't know. We, you know, put up a big giant beach ball past year, and we had you guys know I'm from New York, and we did our Beach City's ball drop, just like in Times Square, except we had, we made our own big giant beach ball, and it was a blast.
It's a fantastic event and a lot of fun, and an institution now.
I have a quick question for you, Lou. I don't know how often you get to sing outdoors like that, but I remember a couple of years ago, it was a pretty cold evening that New Year's Eve. Does that affect your singing?
I have to say that we don't. We have a song called, you folks out there might know, it's called A Foggy Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
A Foggy Day in London, right? And in the meantime, I literally couldn't see six rows into the audience. Because about halfway through the late set, fog rolled in, and it really was cold. It got down into like the high 40s, and people were bundling up. It actually made for a lot of fun because everybody was really cozying up, and the crowd was getting closer and closer. But yes, it does. The minute that you go to, you know, sing the big ending of a big song, and you take that breath, you know, you hear singers, athletes, whoever talk about warming up, and in the meantime, you're warm, and then you take this big, you know, deep breath into your diaphragm, and that cold air just shoots down, you know, through your nose, through your windpipe, and it does make for an interesting evening. I'll tell you that much. But, yeah.
All right. Yeah, I
yeah.
just thought of that.
So we're gonna talk about your you know, extended career as an entertainer. Here in the South Bay and beyond, concerts, film, television, but it's your career as a restaurateur that is also very exciting. Of course, the new restaurant, Primo Italia, but Lou, you've got history here in the South Bay. You've had a couple of restaurants, and we want to know, you know, what's going on with your history. Lots of people want to know what's going on to the last restaurant that you had.
Well, you know, we had, you know, I'm in the same location. We had a previous restaurant there, and it actually was my namesake, called Lou's on the Hill.
Right.
Which I think we talked about a couple of years ago now.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lou's on the Hill was a fantastic experience that, I went from 400 square feet at the side door in Manhattan Beach, where I was there for over a decade, to over 4,000 square feet at the wonderful space that we have now,
right,
with private rooms and like our Rocco's room in the back, and a big, beautiful open space with a bar for 28 people. And we had, you know, the restaurant business is fraught with with speculation, and it's a very difficult, relentless daily business. And and we had some extreme challenges over there, to say the least, with partnerships and different relationships.
When we talked about Lou's on the Hill, it wasn't just another restaurant. It wasn't just a business. We talked at some length about an oven, a very special oven. Lou, tell me about that oven again.
Well, you know, it's a 5,300-pound Morello Forni wood-fired oven. It's really just this giant piece of cement, all right, that was brought all the way over by Rosita Bazzani, which is this great Italian equipment company. And we literally had to blow a giant hole in the back of the building. And we're on a hill, and we had to crane it in before anything in the restaurant was built. And we literally had to put it in one spot that the engineers would allow because of the weight. And then we had to build the entire restaurant around it. Looking back on it, I don't know whether we were great visionaries or completely stupid, but it is what we get from that and what we do with it and how we use it is really a singular tool to a restaurant, you know, like what we have now. So it's a pretty cool thing. Yeah. And if anybody ever gets chilly, like we did that night in the Hermosa Beach a couple of years ago, you just stop by Primo and you could definitely warm up next to that thing.
There's a commitment to the restaurant business that you've made. It's not just the oven from Italy that has to be brought in by a crane through a hole in the wall. There's lots more to committing to the business of being a restaurant. It's a lifestyle. It's not just a business.
You're 100% right. You know, you mentioned at the opening, you know, my two boys, and it's a very, it's an all-encompassing thing. It's something that happens every single day, and it's something that, you know, when you're, you know, we're there to bring happiness and experience and new experiences to people. That's what we're there for, through food, drink, and music. And, you know, other than some things that happen between two people that we probably can't discuss in the morning, those are three out of the four wonderful things about life, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yes, you know, every day when, you know, when my friends are out and I get invited to a party, you know, we're throwing a party at Primo or any of the other restaurants that I've owned. And it's fun. That's the easy part. The easy part is when you're open. The hard part is making sure you have everything that you need to throw that party. As everyone knows, when they throw a party at their house, you know, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And we do that every night. So, yeah, you got to be organized and ready to roll.
You know, the thing that I loved about Lou's on the Hill, I was about to say we've never had anything quite like it before in the South Bay, but we actually, Mike Quagletti tried to do it with Upper Manhattan. He had opened a place in North Manhattan Beach several years ago. What I like to call a supper club. Maybe that's not the correct thing, but there was entertainment. You know, there was food along with entertainment. And Lou, it was, let's use the word unique to the South Bay. Are there a lot of, let's just say greater, you know, Los Angeles, are there many restaurant entertainment venues like what you did around? Because I just don't know where they are.
Well, you know, there's a bunch of places, you know, downtown that you can seek that do things on particular nights. Just like, you know, we're doing what we did at Lou's on the Hill at Primo as well. We have a beautiful piano, you know, in our main room, and my accompanist comes on the weekends, and every Friday and Saturday night you never know who might step up to the microphone. You know, when it comes to, you know, my experience and my friends, you know, a very good friend of mine, you know, was in town. He's the president of the Grammys, and he came by the restaurant last night and tickled the ivories a little bit and had a protege with him who sang a few songs. Mm. So you never know what's going to happen. And it's a very delicate balance, because when you have music, you know, people have more opinions, and and tying all those experiences together is a very delicate thing to do. And you know, of course, any restaurant starts with the food and how good that is and what your chef is doing. And of course the drinks that are coming out of the bar. And, and then of course, having the respect for the music and sound and all those different things. So if you're not really key to and in tune literally and figuratively to all those different parts of the equation, it's a hard thing to do. It really is.
So Lou, are you saying someone involved was tone deaf?
Well, you know, I actually remember that because I was contacted to come over and do some music over there, and I did a few shows, and I just think it was a little ahead of its time. And you know, when I opened the side door in Manhattan Beach, everybody told me, Lou, you can't have a blue velvet martini lounge at the beach. You can't tell people to go home and wash their feet and not wear flip-flops and you know, and come get dressed up and come in and have a drink. And, you know, that was what seems like such a long time ago now. Now, of course, we know what Manhattan Beach is like now. And, you know, it's people like to do what they can't do, you know, where they live. And and when they're provided with an opportunity, you know, I always, one of, you know, my mottos is that, you know, if you do something well and you do it right, people are going to find you, you know, and that's what we try to do every day.
I have to say, Jackie, you know, there's I'm from Chicago. You're from New York. Some of the greatest in the world supper clubs in New York and Chicago. But here in L.A., it's 4th Street in Santa Monica, Harvel's.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with that.
Great music, great food. They, you know, and they're in downtown Santa Monica on 4th Street.
Mm-hmm.
There's one.
You know, I know Seven very well, who's the owner of Harvel's, and I've actually performed there a number of times. He also opened one up down in Long Beach as well.
Right.
And it's always been, he tried to do that here in the South Bay as well, if you remember, at the pier in Redondo.
Mm.
And,
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. And
what happened to that?
We did a number of successful shows there. You know, one night he called me up. It was a Sunday night, and he said, "Lou, you got to come down." And I said, "Sev, what's going on?" He said, "Please, just come down. Get your girl and come down, right?" And I love him, man, because he's such a cool guy. Mm. And I went down there, and there was a small band playing, and as the band was playing, this little guy jumped up on stage and started playing the guitar. And I looked at my quote girl, who was really my wife, and I said, "Is that Prince?"
Mm.
And she was like, "Oh my God." And I looked over at the soundboard behind me, and Seven was back there and just smiling, like, you know, the prince of all princes. And I was like, "Oh my God." And I sat in this room, and for the next 2 some odd hours, I watched Prince play salsa and Latino jazz fusion. Mm. And then at the end, he busted into about, I don't know, 35, 40 minutes of his greatest hits in front of a crowd of about 50 people. And
wow.
It was really, truly one of the most transcendent musical evenings, you know, that I've ever had. And then to get to... you know, given the history of what's taken place over the last year, you know, makes it that much more special, you know, but the South Bay's had some pretty cool things going on musically with Saint Rock and the different things that all the different summer concert series and different things that, you know, Alan Sanford and who happens to be my partner at Primo, what he's doing and bringing, great new acts and to our area, cause I used to think that we were kind of a flyby area here, mm-hmm. People go from the West Side kind of past the South Bay and then go down to Long Beach, Orange County, San Diego. And now there's mm-hmm. actually some really cool stops for, mm-hmm. for musicians, to make that are good for them to make, which right. is exciting.
Right.
Yeah. Alan Sanford has done so much single-handedly done so much for the South Bay entertainment scene. He's unbelievable. He's great. He's great. I've tried to get him on the show several times. I think he's more the silent partner type, Yeah.
Yes. He likes to, remain behind the scenes and, without guys like him providing and working with guys like me to create the stage of which to do things, it's that much harder, And we're really in a renaissance today of live music, because with the advent of what's going on with music sales and CDs and
right.
Apple Music and all the different ways you can get music. Musicians, their bread and butter is really live music now. So you're just seeing some spectacular performing going on. And of course people need a venue to do that at. And that's the difficult thing. So, creating that, that's how I met Alan. We did a concert actually in Hermosa Beach at the Hermosa Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
We did a summer, Christmas concert together and, it was wonderfully successful. And, it's no small thing to put all that together, But, if you can find the barn, you can make a show, right? So that's what you do.
If you can find the barn.
Yeah. You've heard that saying before, right? Yeah. You got to, you have sometimes when I'm working on something, I'll invite friends over. I have a little backyard at my house here in Redondo Beach, and I'll invite between 10 and, 20 people, and then I'll, set something up and I'll invite them over and I'll actually do a little backyard concert or reading of whatever type of piece I'm working on and then just get their input, So you don't, sometimes you don't even need a barn, you just need a backyard. And so that's what we say in the theater, I got a barn, we got some costumes, let's set up some chairs and do a show.
Is that a reference to those? Well, I think they did about 3 or 4 of those movies. I'm trying to think now. It was, I can't think. I'll think of it in a minute. It'll hit me.
Yeah, there's so many different, like Mickey Rooney, Judy Garland, Danny Kaye. Yeah. There's so many of those great, something happens in the town and they have to raise some money. And, the next thing they do a big show. And,
right.
And then it rains and the world's going to come to an end. But then the sun comes out and everybody sings a song and the world is great again. And boy, don't we need a lot of that right now. Right. So
I'm thinking White Christmas.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show and we are talking amazing food and amazing entertainment right here in the South Bay at Primo Italia. Primo Italia. We're going to talk more about that. We're going to talk with Lou Giovanetti and find out more about what's going on with Primo Italia and, of course, with Lou Sings Swing in a moment. And, of course, if you'd like to ask a question, we'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's, again, area code 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. And we'd also love to thank a sponsor.
This segment of the South Bay Show is brought to you by Your Actualized Visions. a local advertising agency, Your Actualized Visions offers all your advertising needs under one roof. From logo design, business cards, banners, and signage, to online services such as website design, SEO management, promotional videos, reputation management, and loyalty promotions, you name it, and Your Actualized Visions will handle it for you on time and under budget. Built on the needs of their clients, Your Actualized Visions is competitively priced and economical, saving you money and greatly enhancing your bottom line. At Your Actualized Visions, customer service is all local with one point of contact. No more dealing with robo-answering machines, getting the runaround, or speaking to someone in another country. Your Actualized Visions understands your hyper-local advertising needs and focuses on bringing you real clients. They do not buy likes, followers, or fake results. Your campaigns are real, built with real community followers who want to purchase your services and products. The only thing standing in the way of your company's success is you now picking up the phone right now and calling Your Actualized Visions at 310-413-8773. To learn more about what Your Actualized Visions can do for you and your company, visit the website at youractualizedvisions.com. Your Actualized Visions, your dreams today, not someday.
All right, we're back. And we've had, I mentioned one place, and we get a Prince story. What else is going to happen? I don't know. What else is going to happen? It's just, you know, Jackie, you got another place in mind?
Well, no, I would love to for Lou to tell us about what happened with Lou's on the Hill, Lou. What happened? One day you were there, and the next day you were gone, but it was still called Lou's. Tell us what happened.
Fair. You're going to push me, aren't you?
I am.
Well, you know, Jackie, I'll tell you guys this. I have, there's so many experiences that go on in the restaurant business. And I think everyone has always thought about, you know, what it'd be like to own a bar, own a restaurant. And, you know, with the advent of what goes on, you know, television today with all the different food shows and all the information that we get that we can sort of exercise our creativity through food and entertainment and different things, you know, Lou's on the Hill was a real dramatic expression for me of, you know, something that I've always wanted to do. And, you know, I put together this very, for lack of some better words, sexy, cool place that, you know, when I used to do some shows there, you know, there'd be 140 people in a room and, you know, I would just look at the crowd and I'd say, where are we? You know, where are we? You know, are we really, you know, on the way up the hill to Palos Verdes, you know, in Southern California, you know, and, you know, right in the triangle of Redondo and Torrance and PV and San Pedro and, you know, Hermosa, Manhattan. Is this really where we are? Because it's just, it was such a departure, like you were talking about earlier. You know, I was there, what, we opened January 22nd, 2015, and in August, September of that year, you know, after being open for, you know, 8-9 months, you know, we started getting some funny phone calls there from different newspapers, from the New York Post, Esquire magazine, the LA Times, and, you know, when my manager first told me we were getting these calls, I was like, you know, guys, you know, I used to, you know, be involved in the entertainment industry. So, you know, just take a number and I'll get back to them. But they would never leave a number and they never leave a name. And, you know, come by the time November 10th rolled around, some things happened within our partnership that it was really the most responsible decision for me to step away from the business. And, you know, it looked like I was going to be able to buy my partners out one day because their interest in the business had waned and some things in their lives have changed rather dramatically, rather quickly. And then some things unbeknownst to me changed even more, which sometimes we were still trying to find out. And obviously we've moved on now, we have a new place, but Yeah, one day I was there, and the next day I came in, we got our entire staff together, and I told them, I'm so sorry. I really can't discuss what's going on, but I have to I have to step away for a time, and but I'll be back. And so some things ensued. You can probably read about them in the newspaper. I really am so dramatically trying to move on, you guys, that I you know, November 10th of 2015, I was gone, and then we started the process of trying to get the restaurant back, and it literally took until June 1st of this year, 7-8 months to figure out that process, and there was a lot of legal issues that had to be figured out, and there was all sorts of crazy intrigue, and there was all sorts of very you know, kind of crazy stories out there. Some of them are true, and you can read about them, but you're not going to get me to talk about it. I just don't. I'm so lucky to have the restaurant back, and you know, we just have a tremendous amount of respect for the customers, and the restaurant was run under my name for a long time, and it wasn't indicative of what I would have liked to have done. Still had some wonderful people working there who are working for me yet again. And, yeah, now we're back. So it's pretty cool.
It's the comeback story.
Well,
it's America loves a great, you know, trials and tribulations that turn into success.
Yes. And I'll tell you what, when we started this process, I had some people obviously helping me, advising me, and they said, Lou, you know, I give you a 5% chance. You know, this is rather messy. And my partners had gotten themselves involved in some things that were, pretty intense. And in the meantime, but that was my namesake, you know, and, you know, I extricated myself from what was going on the periphery with the idea that we would have hopefully a second bite at the apple. And at first, of course, during that process, you know, we would just reopen Lou's on the Hill. Mm-hmm. But as we got closer to the possibility of getting the property back and a lot of relationships, you know, had to be educated, you know, to the situation. And in the meantime, everyone was they were rooting, you know, for Lou's on the Hill, you know, because we had such a great run up to November. And that, you know, that concept of music and food and entertainment and drink and doing them all in a very unique, stylish way, was resonating in this area, in a spot that had been, very quiet for a lot of years, you know. Mm-hmm. And, the Hillside Village over in Torrance is a really cool property, and it's a very unique property. And there had been some restaurants there for a very long time. Christine's was there for over 18 years, and mm-hmm. Il Toscano, which was the place that went out of business before I took over the spot, was there for 27 years. So mm-hmm. there's some wonderful loyalty over there, but it definitely needed a renaissance. It definitely needed a refresher. And, Truxton's from Westchester and the West Side in Santa Monica is coming over to the old Christine spot in January, February of next year. So it's going to be a really cool synergy and energy over at the Hillside Village. And to be able to, you know, like I say, get the second bite at the apple is a very unusual thing in this business. And, like I said earlier, when you're doing something right and you're doing something authentically and real, it translates. And and I was lucky enough to get an opportunity to do it, to pick up the mantle again, and here we are.
This This very much reminds me of a story like from old Brooklyn. I mean, we're not there. We're in Southern California. But it's done.
For sure.
It's done.
Well Lou, I know me. I'm just going to
She's not going to let it go.
I'm not going to let it go. I just as I said, because it came as a shock to me when I heard about that you weren't there. You weren't there. It was still Lou's on the Hill, but you weren't there. But your customers, as you talked about, you had a loyal customer base, and Lou's had its own style. All right, it was completely different than anything else in the South Bay, and your customers, I would imagine that there were quite a few of them that were there one weekend listening to Naughty Nikki and the All Nighters, and they come back the next weekend and Feed the Kitty is playing. Don't get me wrong, I love Feed the Kitty, but when you all of a sudden were gone, the whole music scene changed dramatically too.
Yeah, we really, the hardest part of that transition was that it really wasn't a transition. It was a necessary, seemingly forced thing that happened, and I really needed to get out of the way of a freight train and allow some things to take place for my partners. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. And because I am, I've been called a raconteur, and I've been called, many different things over the different platforms that I've enjoyed, participating in over the years. So to actually to be told, listen, Lou, please don't talk about this. It's not good. There's some legalities that still have to work their way out, and that was very hard to do. And people were contacting me left and right, saying what's going on. Because the first thing that the new people that were helming the business did was remove the piano. And I said to them, I said, listen, we got to take the sign down, and they're like, well, we're going to keep the name. And that's where the first fight, ensued, because I wasn't going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I said, if you take that piano out of there, it's going to be like putting up a closed sign when people walk in the door, because we were selling an attitude, and part of that attitude was, was the music, obviously. And when you walk into a room and there's a beautiful grand piano with that top open and those strings and glistening, and some beautiful lighting, just that piano sitting there connotes a certain energy, and it doesn't even have to be played. Mm-hmm. And so, because we don't have music every single night. I mean, obviously we play music, but there's not live music every night. But then because there's a piano, something can always happen. And I remember one story from Lou's on the Hill. There was a gentleman there, and it was a Tuesday night. It wasn't very busy. And a table of six people came in, and they were all probably late 30s, mid 40s. And there was one gentleman with them who was older, and he was miserable. And I mean, this guy should not have been let out of the house on this particular day. And my servers kept coming up to me going, Lou, the guy, he's just, we can't make him happy. We can't this. And I kept touching the table and talking to them. And the other five people were having a wonderful time. Hmm. And I met this guy, and he's like, so you got a piano? I said, yes, sir. I said, he goes, it's a nice piano. I said, yeah. I said, he goes, yeah, who plays it? And I'm like, I said, usually people that ask questions like this want to play it. He's like, I'm not playing your piano. And I said, well, I'm not asking you to, buddy, and that's my piano. And you have to be nice to play that piano. Right. And everybody else is laughing and sort of trying to cheer him up. And long story short, I didn't give up on him through the night. I just kept going back there and saying, no matter what happens, I'm going to make you smile today. I'm going to make you, it's going to happen. And he kept asking about that piano. And I said, stop, because you're not, I said, just anybody can't get up there and play it. You got to earn it, right? Mm-hmm. So later in the evening, they're having their dessert, and the dessert couldn't even make him happy. And I sort of knelt down. I got down like a catcher's position right next to his chair. And I looked at him eye to eye and I said, I got to tell you something, pal. I've tried everything in the book and in my heart and in my mind to try to help you bust out of whatever's going on with you, you know? And I said, you are the most miserable person I've ever met. And everybody at the table laughed, and he looked at me and he got up, and I was like, oh God, what did I do? And we started walking across the room, and I'm following him, and he went and he sat down at the piano, and I looked at him and I said, seriously, I said, this is a very expensive piano and I have other customers and I'm very serious about my music because I'm a musician myself. And I really would appreciate it if, if you went back to your seat. I said, I'm really not kidding. Right. Mm-hmm. And he sat down at the piano bench and he looked up at me and he said, I had my wife's 40th birthday party here 20 years ago when it was Il Toscano, and I lost her 2 weeks ago to cancer. And it's very, very hard to be back here, and I'm so sorry. And he, grown man, started to sob and cry. And I looked at him, and I said, can you really play the piano? And he said, well, let's see. And he opened up the top of the piano, and he started playing the piano. And, you can just tell, by somebody's right hand whether or not they know how to play. And he was a spectacular piano player. And he started playing the song Surrey with a Fringe on Top from Oklahoma. And I just thought, how random is this? But it was beautiful. And I started singing with him. Just him and I, just that 2.5 feet between him and me, leaning on the front of the piano. And we spent about a half an hour at that piano. And he played and I sang everything from If Ever I Would Leave You from Camelot to Maria from West Side Story. And I turned around and, half the restaurant had moved over. But it was really just about that 2.5, 3 feet between the two of us. And he told me they tried to take his life a couple of weeks earlier and that his friends were trying to cheer him up. And he told me that he's so alone and that he just doesn't know what he's going to do without the love of his life. And I said, well, I can tell you one thing. You're never alone. And he goes, how can you say that? And I said, because I have a piano and I have this restaurant and we're open 7 days a week. And any day you feel like you need, you feel alone, you come here and you sit at this piano and you call me and I will be here and you and I will do what we've just done. And so there's absolutely no excuse for you to feel that way. And I said, I think your wife and her birthday and that wonderful time that you had gave you this gift tonight. And he got up and he gave me a big hug. And, we've been friends ever since. And that to me is, first of all, you can never take anybody for granted and take them at first glance. And because you just never know what somebody's really going through. And then, of course, truly the power of music and, a piano. It's like that Elton John show in Vegas, the $1 million piano. You have Elton John and you name a show the $1 million piano, right? As if people want to come and see a $1 million piano, right? But, that vehicle is a very powerful thing. Music does incredible things. So I don't know why I got off on that tangent, you guys, but, being in this business is those are the moments where it just makes things very, very special, because we're not just serving food, we're not just serving drinks and trying to figure out a playlist. We really can interact with our customers in a way that, you know, creates memories, you know?
Right. Wow. That's a memory.
Yeah, it truly is. I mean, there's a power in music and the history of music that just, yeah, it's cool, man. It's really, really cool. And when you experience it, you're never the same after it. You know what it's like to be at, you know, a concert or a moment when you know, that moment right before someone that you've been dying to see comes on stage and, you know, it's always indelibly etched, you know, in your psyche. So it's, that's why you do it.
All right. I don't want to know what happened to that guy when you were no longer there. I do not.
No.
Listen. I'm sitting here with my tissues. I don't want to know.
he's cool. He's, you know, we've talked periodically. You know, one of the first calls that I made when I found out that I was gonna be able to redesign the restaurant and come back was I called my accompanist George Emerson, and George is a true, like, George is a piece of history, man. He's played every great piano bar across this country. He used to, for 5 years, he was upstairs at Mastro's in Beverly Hills. And he has seen it all. And to have George be, you know, at Lou's on the Hill and now at Primo, when he said, he's like, Louie, I'll be there, you know, and I was like, fantastic. And I told my wife, I was like, George will come. And she's like, oh, good, you know, because he's my security blanket. You know, you have to, the restaurant business is like we said, relentless, you know, but to have the ability to go over and somebody says something to you like, oh, it's our anniversary, you know, and then to be able to step up to the piano and sing a beautiful song for them when they didn't know that was going to happen. It's a nice way to, just sort of give something to somebody, you know? And, so that's pretty cool.
Well, yeah. Lou, tell us a little bit about the food. Do you have a new chef this time around?
Oh my gosh. Now we're getting into the fun stuff here. I mean, I do have a new chef to answer your question, and his name is Michelangelo Aliarga. And he is, from his name, knows what he's doing.
He's an artist.
I call him Mick. And when we met, it was sort of like, I don't know, kind of brother from another mother type of thing, a little bromance happened almost immediately. And my second realization about the possibility of getting the restaurant back was, oh my God, I need a chef. And part of my I had three things. One of them was George. And the second, and pretty close to the second, and part of the third was that if I didn't get the chef I want, I wasn't interested in going back, because no matter what the music is, no matter how beautiful the decor is, no matter how great the drinks are, you know, without food in a restaurant, I mean, it's the heartbeat, it's the right arm, it's the, you know, it's everything. And you need someone that not only knows what they're doing, but, you know, hopefully in whatever concept you do as a restaurateur shares that overused word today, but truly apropos here is the word passion. And Mick is a, you know, he's a true Italian. And like he said to me, he goes, Louis, I don't like the French say a chef. I'm a cook. I make the food. I cook, you know. And it's hard because I still call him chef all the time because he deserves that. But he is, I like to call him a true heritage-based Italian cook. And because he grew up in it, and he moved here into America when he was 19, and he worked on the West Side with some of the great, you know, the Gino Angelinis and Open Ciccone's on the West Side, and really worked in some spectacular Italian kitchens where he cut his teeth, and then he was out in Palm Springs at La Spiga for a number of years, executive chefing. La Spiga is a very popular beautiful property in Palm Desert. And he has two little babies, and they were too hot out in the desert. And I was networking all over the place, and I was lucky enough to get to interview him. And I just said to him, I said, you know, what's your dream? And he said, Louis, my dream, I have the restaurant, maybe 40, maybe 50 seats, and I make the food for the people that I wanted to make, you know. And after 5 minutes, I was like, my God, if me and him can't hook up, there's just nothing right in the world. And we got together, and he chose us, you know, which is really wonderful, because some pretty big restaurant groups were entertaining him. But he met my wife, Grace, and everybody was speaking a little Italian. And, you know, we all have kids, you know, at any time you can see the kids are there running around the restaurant. And, we're hopefully really going to, you know, grow up and grow together over the years. And he just makes everything from, my gosh, his branzino is something to be experienced. And we have a menu. Luz on the Hill had 28 items. We now have 43.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a complete tour from northern Italy to Rome to the south we pay homage to Sicilian history as well on our menu. And it's extremely well-rounded, extremely well-rounded. And it's great stuff.
I'll have to say that the website, eatprimo.com, is such a joy. This is a piece of art, this website.
Oh, that's nice.
It's beautiful. You know, where do these pictures come from? Whose life is this?
That is my life and my wife's life. And we decided to sort of flip the coin over from Luz. And, you know, they're so the bones and even the muscle and the skin of the restaurant with the pizza oven and all of the appointments of all the different bespoke things that we did with Luz are still there. But we wanted to create a more of a home feel when you come. Mm-hmm. And I really think that we've accomplished that. And the people that have been coming in, we've only been open for 1 week, and we've been doing it very quietly. And, just building organically and slowly and trying to do everything right. And, my wife and I really took a little trip into our family histories, and we put together wonderful montages and collections of pictures. And, you know, my business card actually has my mother-in-law. She has on this beautiful skirt and blouse and shoes, and she has a wood barrel on her head, because when she was growing up, she used to go to the river to get the water to bring back to the house in the mountains outside of Naples. So I put that picture on the back of my card to remind me that no matter how hard the work gets,
right,
not as hard as traveling to get the water at the river, right?
Now, this picture, Jackie's from New York, from Manhattan. She went to Rockaway. Is this picture, there's four ladies in these in these swimsuits. Is this Rockaway Beach? Where is that?
Yeah, it could be it's not Rockaway, but I'm sure it's called Sunken Meadow in Jones Beach out on Long Island.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's every weekend, the sandwiches and the frittata and the hard-boiled eggs and they would all get in the car, pile in and go to Jones Beach, and you would leave at like 6 o'clock in the morning, and then you wouldn't come home until it got dark,
right.
And so, that was such a treat, after, all those ladies were all, seamstresses and working in sweatshops, in Manhattan and Queens. And, those weekends were special times.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful website, beautiful menu, eatprimo.com. It's a piece of art.
Okay, well, we got to go, Joe. We got to go.
We got to go.
You do.
When are we going?
You let... Well, I don't know. I know a guy over there, so don't worry, you're in.
Luke,
you're in.
Is live music on weekends now, or is it regular? Or
yes, every Friday and Saturday, there will. George is always in the house, and you know, I am always there unless I'm doing another event, you know, or something like that, but. For the foreseeable future, you come in, I'll be there. And, we do, you know, George plays from 6:30, till 10:30 every Friday and Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And then of course, you know, if you check out eatprimo.com, you can sign up to our special events. We have some wonderful wine dinners that we'll be posting soon that we'll be having in Rocco's room. Which is our private event space that we also seat on the weekends. That we have these beautiful bunch of people that my wife and I are friends with sent us wine barrels from their wineries, and we feature them in Rocco's room, and it's just wonderful. You know, my mother-in-law, you know, she used to call spaces like Rocco's room the bomboniera, which is like a little bird's nest. And it's just, if you want to come and you just want to sort of relax and have a little romantic evening, you know, then when you call the restaurant, ask for Rocco's room, and we'll put you in Rocco's room. Otherwise, the front of the restaurant is, you know, there's always something going on. Last night I had the Tiger Squadron from Zamperini Field over in Torrance came into the restaurant. And I don't know if you ever see in the South Bay, there are five World War II old, you know, two-seater planes. And these guys, they do air shows and all sorts of stuff. And they all live really close to the restaurant. And they all flew in. And I actually saw them flying in over the rock outside the restaurant. And anyway, they invited me to fly. One of our local politicians, Dan Hadley, is having an event at Terranea next week. And they invited me to fly back seat. With one of them next week on Wednesday. And I was like really honored to be asked, but on the same token, I have to admit publicly, I'm very scared. But yeah, they're like,
you know, Lou, that's
you know,
funny.
We
that's
had
funny.
A little too much grappa. Yeah. And,
that's funny. Yeah. Joe and I have been invited to take a ride in those ultralights, and we're like, yeah, we haven't signed up for that yet.
No, by the way, and you know, a kite over a little lawnmower engine is not a plane. I'm with you on that. And I hope you're listening, Wayne Powell, because when he's flying over the South Bay, and I look up there and I say to myself, look at this guy. That is an amazing thing. I would love to do that, but I have to admit, I don't have. No, there's definitely, we need a little more horsepower.
Yeah. More horsepower. More horsepower to the engine.
Hey, unfortunately, our hour flew by.
Yes.
Are you kidding? We're done?
Isn't that fantastic?
Wow. And you never got it out of me. I'm so excited.
I'm going to work on it. I'm going to do my research.
Over a nice
bottle of Chianti.
Bottle of Chianti, yeah.
We'll have a nice bottle of Chianti. We'll have a little Cosi Imbrodo, maybe a little Amatriciana, and then, you know, we'll finish that with a little Scallopini or Ossobuco, and by that time, I'll definitely tell you everything you want to know. Okay, Jackie?
Okay, all right.
Truth serum.
All right, I got it.
Truth serum.
All right, everybody. Lou is back. Primo Italia.
Eatprimo.com. Fantastic. Lou.
Yeah, please just come by. We're on Open Table. You can just go to our website. The button's right there on the front page. And, you know, there's going to be so many wonderful things going on. And, we'd love to see you over there.
Right. Fantastic. What a day. What a conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, eatprimo.com. Lou Giovannetti, we can't wait to hear you sing again, Lou. We look forward to finding Lou Sings Swing and following your progress on that as well. And that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back tomorrow. Jackie, who's our guest tomorrow?
We have somebody from Los Angeles World Airport.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's going to be exciting. Well, thank you very much, Lou Giovanetti.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
That's our show. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.